1 John chapter number 3. We're going to read three verses and try to bring our text from this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I've been called a lot of things in life. Anybody besides me? Some of them, hey, some of them was kind of ugly. Y'all must have been a bunch of sweeties. Y'all might have been a bunch of kind hearts. Perfectionists, if you will. I would call some ugly things, Brother Darnell. I've been told to go to certain places that I cannot go to no more. Thank God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. You know, you can preach a whole message right there on why the world don't understand. Why the world? Why don't they understand? Well, Larry, why don't they understand why you go to church every Sunday? Why don't they understand why you put your offering in the offering plate? Give 10, some of you 15, some of you 20% of your wages to the work of God. They don't understand that. They don't understand that. Well, the Bible says right here, therefore the world knoweth us not. Because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Amen. Brother Darnell, pray for me if you would, please, brother. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. Thank you. I want to preach on this thought, if I could. What manner of love? What manner of love? Love. Love is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Me and my wife, January, we'll be married 38 years. And my prayer is every day that she'll keep on loving me. Amen. Amen. And I told my son this weekend we was up there. I said, as far as I know, the only thing that I can see in my future that she's going to be mad at me about, this is what I can see presently, Brother Gary. Presently, there may be something that'll spring up tomorrow or this afternoon, but presently I can see where she's going to be upset when I die and leave her broke. She said, no. She said, I'm going to be mad that when you leave me, period. Amen. I said, well, praise the Lord. But if I had a little insurance policy, I'm sure it'd make you a little bit happier and able to get over that sad part right there, don't you? What manner of love? That's what the Bible says right here. Behold, what manner of love? Have you ever just took time to look up that word manner? Manner. Webster has probably, an 1828 dictionary, has probably got about 25, maybe 30, 35, or 40 different word definitions of the word manner. But the first few words of the word manner is this: method. What manner of love is this? So we see it could be a method of love. It would have to come forth from God, from the heart. A method of love. It's not conditional. It's not that if you do have a lot of money. It's not if you do have a super nice, extravagant home And I'm not, if you have one, listen, I'm not picking you. Thank God that you got it. Amen. If the Lord's blessed you with it and you can sleep good at night with them payments, God bless you. Amen. I'm satisfied, Brother Jay. I'm satisfied with what I got. We live in a double wide. We've had it since 19-something-to-something. And I can't remember. But we've done a bunch of work to it. And I told my wife one time, Brother Tracy, Brother Bob was going here. And Brother Bob was a great carpenter. Man, he loved building. And Brother Leroy, I'm telling you, he could put wood together. He was the designer of the brains, Brother Leo, of us doing that balcony, wasn't he? And we had nothing. That balcony, before that balcony was built, there was a pull-down stairway right up there in the foyer. And we went up there one day and looked and through that staircase and looked around. I said, "What you think?" He said, "We can do it." He just loved the thought of it. But he told me, he said, "Why, preacher, why don't we build you a church? Why don't we build you a house?" I said, "A house?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "The church can build you a house." I said, "Well, first thought is, that's a great idea." But then I thought about how much it's going to cost the church. And then my wife was told, she said, "You know what?" She said, "I'm satisfied with what we have. I'm satisfied with what we have." And I know that probably that's done a lot of things different in our life, you know. Both my son-in-laws married my daughters, and they both bought them engagement rings that's about the size of a Major League Baseball. And they still paying on them. Amen. I bought my wife one that's about the size of the head of a pen, something like that, you know. And it's paid for. But 38 years later, praise God, it ought to be paid for. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm just talking about what manner of love. The word manner means form. It means method. It means a way of performing or executing. He said, "What manner of love?" 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." It's really hard to try to identify God when you think about, I want to describe God for you. I could say He's the beginning and the ending. You say, "But that's Jesus." He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." There's so many words, so many adjectives we could use in describing our Heavenly Father. We know this. We know that He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We know that when I hurt, He hurts. We know that whenever you hurt, He hurts. He don't just brush off the hurt and the pain and the sorrow that you and I go through. Regardless, there's denominations that teach that Jesus and God is not the same person. But can I tell you, friend, I'm telling you, there are three that beareth record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5:7, and these three are one, and they agree. They agree. They don't disagree. They agree, Brother Darnell. I believe when Jesus was hurting, I believe God the Father was hurting. I believe whenever Jesus was there, I really wanted to preach a different message this morning. I had another thought on my mind. Maybe I'll preach it tonight. I don't know. But this, I wanted to think about this thought. When Judas came up and kissed Jesus, he openly and defiantly kissed the kiss of death and betrayal to him in front of, listen, are you listening? In front of all his church family. Say, how did that happen? Well, that was the nearest to the church they had right there, and it was the disciples. And right in front of them, Simon Peter, right in front of John and James, Judas came up and kissed him. And I thought, wow, how bold, how harsh, how hateful, how sorrowful that must have been. The Lord knew, when the Lord seen him walking toward him, and the Lord knew what his... I'm about to jump over too far right here. I want you to be reminded, of that we, he says right here, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That took a great love, that took a great, a divine work of God for us to even get to the place. Are you listening to me? Listen here now. Look up and listen to me. What you and I had to go through for God to be able, listen to me, for God to be able to give out from Himself the love, because 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says God is love. Are you listening? I mean, He is love. I know a lot of people, I see this all the time, and I've met some people that they told me they were mechanics, an automobile mechanic. And come to find out what they were was called a parts changer. Almost anybody, especially if you have YouTube, can figure out how to change parts. Somebody say amen right there. But I met a man, and if you was to ask me what you think about him, I'd tell you he's about crazy as a run-over dog. He's a mechanic. He knows, Brother Jeff, I've seen him do some things. I thought, there ain't no way they'd ever done that down at the Dodge place. They'd never done that at the Ford place. They'd never done that at the Chevrolet place. But he's literally a mechanic. Jeremy, I don't know if you remember this or not. I'm sure you do. But whenever y'all had that Cadillac and the rear end messed up on that thing, and you took it to another place up here, and the gentleman said, just go down there and get you another rear end. Go to the junkyard and get you another one. Well, you're talking about maybe $200 or $300, $400. I didn't know this. And I was talking to this mechanic yesterday, and he said, son, you need to wake up. He was talking about another rear end going out. He said, now them things are $1,500 to $1,800. I'm talking about in a car. All right. So he took this thing, he took their car, and he fixed it for, I don't even know if it was $100. I don't remember what the price was. But he fixed it because what was wrong with it, there was a nylon bushing that had went out on the axle, and he just happened to have some. He put it on his lathe, he cut it down, he made it to the right size, put it back together because he is a mechanic. What a difference that makes. What a difference it makes when somebody says, hey, I just want you to know I love you. But they don't know nothing about love. What a difference it makes when somebody says, hey, brother, I just want you to know you're my friend. I sure do love you. Have you got the same kind of love God had? You could have. We know this. We know that we are sinners. We got to go back to where we started at, Brother Darnell. We're sinners because of Adam's. We're of Adam's race. We just didn't wake up one day when we turned 8 years old and become sinners. You didn't become a sinner just because you reached into the cookie jar and stole cookies out that your mama freshly made. That didn't make you a sinner. We're not sinners. We're not sinners because you watch things on TV that a sold-out Christian would not watch. You're not a sinner. You're not a sinner because you drink things, stuff with caffeine in it. You're not a sinner. You're not. A lot of people think you are. You're not a sinner. You're not a sinner just because you've done something wrong today or said something wrong today that you didn't say yesterday. You're a sinner because one man, sin entered into him. The Bible says this in Romans 5:12-4. As by one man, sin entered to the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Oh, we know this. We know this about God. We know this about God. We know that God is omnipotent. He has all power. What is there He couldn't do? What line is there that He would have to draw and say that God could not never do that? We know this. We know that He's omniscient. We know that He's all-knowing. But what do you think that you could face a circumstance that you could go through that God wouldn't understand? What do you think there is that God would not understand, Brother Tyler, where you're at and what you're going through? Whenever you and your wife and baby was in that car, that truck, and that car hit you and flipped you up sideways right there, and you standing back scratching your head thinking, what in the world just happened? Can I tell you God knew exactly what just happened? If for nothing else, He taught you to wear a seatbelt. Amen. Amen. He said, hey, if for nothing else, He taught you, listen, when Jared and Jennifer got in that wreck, and they were thinking, they're looking at Jennifer got in that wreck, but they were thinking about getting a different vehicle. He talked to me about it over and over, Brother Leroy. He talked to me, he called me, he said, Dad, I'm looking at this. What do you think? Looking at that. What do you think? And he showed me the number down there where the price was. I said, oh, God, son, please don't do that. Please don't. Don't do that. Don't do that. Man, you could buy a Bentley for what that thing costs right there. And I'm just, I'm too close to the end to be giving people advice on buying stuff. I'm going to say, get you a Geo. I'm looking for the cheapest route I can find. Buy me a used one. Amen. I don't care that the clear coat's peeling off the paint job. Amen, Brother Larry. I want dependability. And I want it cheap. But he said, Dad, he said, when she got in that accident, he said, if she'd have been driving a little car, it had killed her. I said, son, you're right. I said, so here's my advice to you. I said, you pray, and whatever God lays on your heart, that's what you do. It's real good. It's real easy. It's an opportunity. Hear me. It's an opportunity for us to look like we have so much great wisdom when people are asking us for advice. But can I tell you, it's a mighty dangerous thing? Because and it scares me, if I give somebody the wrong advice, Brother Jeff, if I give them some advice that ruins them forever, don't you think them nights would just be horrible in my mind? I've been praying. I've been telling people, I said, I want you to pray, God, give me wisdom, patience, and strength. And all my life, I've heard people say, be careful, be careful. You pray for patience. You better be careful. God will send tribulation. If He's got to send tribulation for me to have wisdom and strength, I said, so be it, Lord. Because I do know this, you go through this world with nothing, you're like the waves of a sea. You just blow it in and out, in and out, in and out. I want you to know this, God. We know our God is omnipotent. We know He's omniscient. We know He's omnipresent. Brother Leo, where is He not? This morning, right now, it's 5 minutes till. My watch says 5 to 12. That one says 20 to 7. And if y'all want to vote, we'll vote. No, I'm just... Right now, in Kenya, Africa, it's 5 minutes till 7. So we must be on African time this morning. But they've already had church. And God already showed up at Brother Joseph's place. So many things. I'd like to preach, Brother Gary, I'd like to preach a message on that sometime, on how they have church in Africa. We might just tag team it. I'll preach a little bit, you preach a little bit. We both got something on it. Because you don't have church in America like you have church in Africa. So what's different culture? Well, it is a different culture, but it's also a different love. They love, I need your help right here now. They love their pastor. Before Brother Joseph will get up and preach, there'll be 2 to 3 introductions of him coming. And when he gets to the pulpit, that whole church just breaks out. Hey, some of y'all, when I get up here, either you doze right off, or you're watching YouTube videos, or your head's in a downward position, you might be praying. I don't know. I'm thinking seriously, Brother Jeff, about putting one of them cameras in the church. How many has ever watched an NFL football game? NFL, that's a professional football game. Have you ever noticed that they got a camera over the field? Huh? Come on, hit me now. Don't go to sleep right now. Hit me a little bit. Might be the last thing I get to say before y'all walk out. That camera can go this way, back this, or this way, back this way. And when something's really good happening, that thing could ever go. Woo! And zoom right down there. Right there where Brother Larry's at. What's he doing? I don't know, but we got on camera. I'm talking about he's everywhere. He's everywhere watching what I'm doing, listening to what I'm saying, looking at the love of my heart. The Bible says this, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Two things. I'll mention this quickly, and we might be closer to done. Brother Gary, I noticed the other night, I watched the service. I try to watch the services. When I'm not here, I like to watch. I like to see what's going on, what they say. And that's the reason I like to watch church services. And I figured out why y'all got out before 8 o'clock the other night. Well, praise God, you just sang one song and took up the offering. And you went to preaching. Brother Darnell, you didn't even have time to get to your songbook page and he was done. Number one, love that is sweetly confirmed. I want you to look at this. Beloved, verse number 2, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It's confirmed. I'm going to say that again because it went right over your head. But, beloved, now are we the sons of God? I see things all the time inviting people, and I know y'all get phone calls all the time wanting you to join, wanting you to donate, wanting you to be a part of all kind of stuff. I am not interested. Listen. Is there anybody that needs a crash course on how to deal with telephone solicitors? Anybody? Just one. Thank you. That's all I need right there. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Here's what you do. When they call and they say, Hi, is this Edward? Yes, it is. How you doing today? I said, Fine, thank you. Click. Or, if they just jump into it right quick like and try to let you know, Hey, I work for such and such department or whatever. Just immediately, there's an end button. They call my house. It's my choice whether I get to talk to them or not. I don't want to talk. I ain't talking. Hang up. I hope you don't make a living doing this kind of stuff because this probably put a real damper on your income. Just hang up on them. He said this, beloved, now are we the sons of God. I might not never get to belong to any big highfalutin organizations or whatever this world's got that makes you look good, but one thing I do know, I am a member of the family of God. I do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am His. I'm in Him. He's in me. I belong to Him. Now are we the sons of God. Say, what I have to do to get all that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. You know what's wrong with the church nowadays? The church is in trouble. The church, I'm talking about in America, the church, the body of believers. You know why everybody has gone out there and got twisted and got on separate roads and they're mad at each other and they're fussing and cussing at each other? Well, they never did have any kind of doctrinal stance. And when that happens, if you've got no kind of doctrine, if you've got no kind of evidence of your salvation, you're going to go by every wind of doctrine that's out there. The first thing you ought to know is that you got saved. You got saved. I got saved. January 27th, 1972, in Callahan, Florida, at the fairgrounds, in the agricultural building. I got saved! If you don't tell nobody where you got it, how you got it, you might not remember the place, the town. I find that hard to believe. I worry about people that have no regulation of their salvation. Jared was preaching the other day. Jared was preaching. I was telling Brother Tracy and Sister Ashley this morning. Jared was preaching last Sunday night for Brother Frankie Hunt. And Brother Frankie Hunt, I didn't know it. Some of y'all know who he is. But he's in Easley, South Carolina now. And I didn't know it, Brother Larry, but Jared come in there, and we were a little bit late getting into the services, and we got there. And he was singing when we got there, and he got up and started preaching, and he was talking about how he stopped in the middle. When he started preaching, he stopped. Just to let me and Faith know what had happened that day, what was going on. Brother Frankie Hunt, his sister had passed away that day. And Jared got up there and he got to preaching out of the book of Psalms, talking about how the Lord, the hand of the Lord is upon us. And I'm telling you, that boy, I mean, he preached like a wild man. I was so proud of my boy, I'm telling you. I said, Lord God, if I ever come back, I used to say this, Brother Darnell. I used to say, if there's such a thing as reincarnation, I hope I come back preaching like a black man. Specifically, Terry K. Anderson. Well, it ain't my fault you don't listen to something besides Days of Our Lives. But I've changed my mind. Now I'm thinking, Lord, if you let me come back, let me preach like my boy. Man, I'm telling you, Brother John, he preached, he soaked his shirt. I believe his jacket was wet when he got through. And that old preacher sat on the front row on this side over here, and he's a weeping, holding his hands up, saying, thank you, Lord, for the good hands of God on my soul. I'm telling you, God done something for that preacher that night in that church last Sunday night. He says, he got finished, and Jared sat down. He said, I'll play the piano. He said, you give the invitation. And Jared gave the invitation, and he sat down, and he says, I'll tell you something. He says, the Lord burdened my heart. He says, I think we're going to take up an offering for this boy tonight. He says, we've had the coronavirus to fight with. He's been fighting with it. All his meetings have been canceled. And I was talking about taking up an offering for him. We're going to take up an offering for him. I don't know when, but we're going to do it to save you money. And then on top of that, his wife had an accident and got off the road. I'm telling you, I'll tell you what kind of stuff he's faced, brother. He's had the last 2 weeks of work canceled for him. And then there's more to come. Cancellations. Everybody's scared of the corona. I understand that. That's why I always say, please, we don't have to hug necks for people to know that we love each other. Amen. I mean, I can walk back and say, hey, I sure do love you, John Owen. I hope you don't mean it, son. Hope you do. I ain't got to hug your neck. I ain't got to do that. But David, I ain't got to hug your neck, but you know I love you. You know, I love you, Brother Tyler. You know, I love you. I got to hug your neck. That preacher got up and said, we're going to take up an offering. He said, we're going to give him $2,000 tonight. I said, whew. He didn't know. He thought the preaching was over, but I think he's going to shout right there. And he wasn't done yet, Brother Gary. He says, and a matter of fact, he said, in October, I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking, hey, what's happened? You know why? Do you know why? Brother Leo, do you know why? That the love of God has been forgotten because most folks are thinking of something else. He said, we got a missionary coming off the field. It's all about me. That's what they're thinking about. It's all about me. It's all about me. What am I going to do? Did you hear what I said? What I said is important. You better listen to what I said. I mean, that's the way we think nowadays, ain't it right? Did you see me? Did you see my new outfit? My new shoes? My new hat? I got a new car. Thank God, I'm so glad of all that stuff. But that is not the love of God. Brother Frank, you said in October, he said, we got a missionary coming off the field. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, church. He says, when he comes home, he said, we're going to start supporting him. That's when I started shouting right there. You said, why? Why would you shout over something like that? That's my son. That's my son. That's my son. That's my son. Hear ye, my beloved son. He says, I am well pleased with him. That was his son. God was pleased with his son no matter what he done, no matter what he said. God the Father was pleased with the son. The love that's sweetly confirmed. And then don't you notice the love that is suddenly complete. Same verse. Same verse. Are you listening? Chapter 3 and verse number 2, the second part. He said, well, first, I'll read the whole thing. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's the confirmed part. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the completed part. I'm afraid a lot of folk are not really excited about being like him. There's something terribly wrong. I wish I knew what it was. The selfishness of this world. Are you listening? The heartaches that come along in this world. The troubles that come along in this world. The expectations that come along in this world. I didn't get a chance to watch no ball games yesterday. I really didn't feel like doing nothing. I think I slept most of the day. But week before last, I watched the University of Georgia. Well, amen. Lindsay don't shout real loud, but when she goes, I know she's with me right there, boy. We watched the University of Georgia play Clemson. There's another big one. Amen. And I know that the expectation of the team that was ranked number 3 was almost, it's a no-brainer. We got this in the bag. Why you got it in the bag? Well, we're living on some memories when we're so powerful. We're living on some memories when we're so good. Let me bring it to the church. We was living on a memory that when we had the bull by the horn with a downhill pull. We was living on some memories that whenever the devil come knocking on our door, we recognized the very knock that he had and we said, get away from my house. Amen. now. Now. In America, now. You can't go into a convenience store without them selling everything ungodly and unholy. You can't go into a restaurant, maybe one, without them selling everything. I even, this is no lie, never had this happen to me. Brother Leroy, I know y'all like to go there, and I do too. Went into Cracker Barrel the other day. And they asked me, they said, can we interest you in a beer? I said, not today. Did they ask y'all? He's just with me. He's just with me. Hey, thank you for just being with me. I mean, if I'm going to lie, I promise you ain't going to be in the church house.
Yes.
A young lady, 39 years plus since I've had a drink.
Amen.
That bunch of slop.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I've tried to do? I've tried to live holy. I ain't going to say it's always happened, but sure I've tried. My youngins ain't never seen me drink a beer. My youngins ain't never heard me cuss. Have you? Have you? You say, what happened? The love of God got in here. I remember the last time I cussed and it slipped out, and immediately I repented. It means I told the Lord I'm sorry, and I'm going to go a different way. I'll tell you what happened. I was working at a steel place. And I had put a big stack of steel plates standing into a rack. And when I stuck them down in there, Brother Larry, I don't know what in the world I was thinking. I had my hand over the edge of the stack that was still in there. And when that plate dog goes down in there and releases, some of you works around that stuff, you know what I'm talking about. And it releases, and you just get up on that crane, and it just pulled it right off that stack of plates. And I had stuck a 2-inch thick stack of steel plates. And then when that thing fell over my hand, it slipped out. You know, God ain't never let me forget that, because He wants us to remember that we're just human. That's not a reason that we can. But when we do, we can go to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, Brother Gary, it slipped out. I tried to curse and send it to hell. I did. Just one word was all it took. I knew it was gone. But as soon as it did, the Holy Ghost of God pierced my heart. I said, Lord, I'm standing. Nobody hear me. I'm by myself, but the Holy Ghost heard me. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, it wasn't that I would have hurt somebody else. It was that I hurt the Holy Ghost. Because the love of God had got in here. Give me a piano player, please. This morning I was thinking, a long time ago, there was a singer. I assume he's probably still singing. Might be still singing. Squire Parson. Still singing. He sang a song, you know what I'm talking about, already. We shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. You know why we're going to be like Him? Because of His love toward us. It's not, Brother David, it's a big thing that He's omniscient. It's a big thing that He's omnipresent. It's a big thing that He knows everything, that He can be anywhere, that He has all power. But you know what's a real big thing? That while we were yet sinners, and that while we were yet sinners, hear me this morning, Brother Darnell, you, me, and you—the same. We're identical. He got us out of the hog pen. And what He's done for us, nobody will ever know. But them thoughts of them days hound our memories. And I can say this, Oh devil, you can throw up my past all you want to. You can remind me of January 25th or 23rd of 1963, of 1970, of whatever you want to. But one thing I know, my God, even when the enemy comes by, Brother Jeff, and tries to do everything he can to beat us down, everything he can to take our joy, everything he can to discourage us in the faith, everything that he can to make us want to quit on God, everything that he can to make us want to just quit. My God, now supply all of your needs. Oh, you thought they were talking about money the whole time. But can I tell you, there's going to be times you need some strength and you need some grace and you need a little bit of get up and go ahead stuff. You need something to make you say, hey, why am I looking at that like that? That ain't what that says. I need something that'll straighten me out. My God shall supply. What manner of love. I wish I could describe it. But it's bigger than His all-knowing. Bigger than His all-power. It's bigger than His all-presence. Brother Dustin, we're just alike. Aren't you so glad this morning? Brother Tracy, Brother Larry, Brother Gary, aren't you so glad this morning that everything that goes in here don't come out up here? Is anybody with me? Brother Allen, you with me? Everything that goes in here, Brother Jeremy, Brother Tyler, everything goes in here, don't come out up here. You know what I'm talking about, on the screen for everybody to see? Say, how come it don't? Because of the love of God. I can tell you time and time and time again when I've had to discipline my boy. But this time when I went up there, he hugged my neck when he seen me. And he hugged my neck whenever we was leaving. And this time, it was even a little bit different. This time, Christian, when he hugged me, he just squeezed me so hard. Now, he could hurt me. I mean, I might have to frog his ears, but he could hurt me. But I want you to know something. I just felt something. But Robert, I felt something on that hug. He wasn't saying nothing, but he was squeezing me hard, saying, boy, I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad. I wonder how God the Father feels about what His Son does. And so I'm tell you what, I'm going to not just give you the love that you have received from me, but I'm going to give every person that will trust in you that same love so that they can show it out to a lost and dying world. I'm not here to beat everybody down. I'm not here to condemn this whole world. Hey, sinners sin because they're sinners. They ain't going to do right until they get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. That don't mean I got to be around them. When they start taking away from the holiness of God, when they stop respecting God and His holiness like He is, I'm going to find me another convenience store to shop at. Amen. I'm going to find some. Let's all stand together. I'm just trying to tell you this morning what manner of love. Do you realize how much God really loved you? Have you got that song? You ready to sing it? Yeah, just sing it. Listen, you might want to just come tell Him. Come tell Him this morning. Lord, I sure love you.